The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. And, boy, we got a lot going on this morning. Amanda Ripley, I was reading a book over the weekend, starting to read and leaf through it. And it's an update of The Unthinkable. It's The Unthinkable. And who survives when disasters strike and why? And why? And I always find these kind of books interesting because it delves into the psychiatry and the psychological drives. What are the certain characteristics of people who end up making it out of a 9/11 or out of a plane crash or a ship sinking and things like that? And who are the people that end up going down with the ship or the plane or the towers, as the case might be? And it's a really interesting psychological study. And we're going to talk with Amanda about that here about a half hour. And it's very, very interesting, especially when they were talking about people who survived 9/11 and did not. And a lot of it was training. There was another one, how they asked about a plane crash that she had talked about in Japan. And it was one that actually, which a plane got struck on the runway, and the one plane ended up catching on fire. Other plane, everybody died on it, the one that did the striking. It was a smaller plane. And she had talked about how everybody got off the plane in an orderly fashion. And naturally, people were saying, well, this is because the Japanese are respectful of authority and this and that and the other. And Amanda ended up saying, no, it really wasn't that at all. Because when you end up having the, things are on fire and people start panicking and stuff like that, she really did say it was the training of the crew that made the difference. And it wasn't just because of the stereotype Asian will, we're all going to follow authority. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, it wasn't that at all. I know that's a pretty well-known stereotype, around that. That's what everybody defaulted to. But anyway, it's very interesting. So we'll talk with her about that here in a few minutes. Something that doesn't have anything to do with the Democratic National Committee in the convention last night. I was watching that, and I had the sound off for most of it. Oh, here's AOC with the big horse mouth just going on, and then other people, angry women and angry guys. And I started wanting to rename people based on what the real focus of the Democratic National Committee really is all about. It's like Andy Beshear is there. He should probably change his name to Andy Bequeer because that's the most important interest group of the DNC right now. And let's see, what was it? When we fight, we win. They're all holding up their signs. When we fight, we win. And I just want to, again, when we cheat, we win. I just wanted to, I wanted to take a little marker and just start, correcting the record as they went on. But anyway, it's what you expect. It's and of course, this is all about the definition of Kamala Harris, and who was an absolute nobody and a total laughingstock 30 days ago and is now going to be the savior of democracy, apparently the way it's being talked about. Donald Trump, of course, is not taking it lying down. He's going out and doing rallies and events every day. Of course, he's concentrating on the battleground states. A lot of time in Pennsylvania, from what I understand, too. So good for Donald. It's not like the old days in which it used to be, when your opposition party, when your opponents are out there doing their convention, you're not supposed to do anything. You're supposed to take it easy. Nah. Can't do that, especially this year, not with just, less than 3 months to go before the selection day, as it were. But I'm staying up late last night. I'm trying to stay up late. And I'm in the toddler schedule. I go to work and go to sleep in the toddler schedule. Go to sleep about 7:30, 8 o'clock, because that's just it. Because otherwise I wake up like a toddler and I'm, crying and cranky. Okay, when are they going to put Joe on? I kept having the DNC up, and it just keeps going and going and going. And I think, what, are they doing this intentionally? Intentionally? To not have the current president? It was like 8:30. 8:30 is when he finally went on last night. So that was 11:30 East Coast. He's out of prime time. Even Central time, it was 10:30. Very late. They have him on, and you know, Jill was there before him, and they're crying, and they're holding up the signs. We love you, Joe. We love you. We heart Joe Biden. We are Joe Biden. And it just astounds me as I'm looking at this orchestrated Bullstein, because, yeah, we love Joe Biden because you let us stab you in the back. That's what it was. It was like a mafia hit, a slow motion, happy mafia hit. You know, boom, 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 and we got you. But that's all right, because he had a chance to do his yelling mumbles, his shouting mumbles, and that's the way it was. I think they probably did it intentionally, made sure that he was outside of the prime time. But here are a couple of bites, and he did react to the protesters, the pro-Hamas protesters out there.
Those protesters out in the street, they have a point.
Yep, but they're going to be shut down pretty well. By the way, speaking of Hamas and the Jewish situation and everything else, Paul Princeton will join me next hour. Remember yesterday I was talking about his granddaughter that was hassled by those pro-Hamas protester types, this time in Portland at the Shake Shack up there. Get you the latest on what's happening with that. There may be some movement over at Shake Shack. They may have fired the person that was involved. I don't know. Anyway, back to shouting, mumbling Joe. This is what I heard him starting the speech out with. This was where he was going early on in last night's speech. And remember, I stayed up late, past my bedtime.
The president was asked what he thought had happened. Donald Trump said, and I quote, "There are very fine people on both sides. My God."
He pulls out the debunked lie. He just keeps telling the lie. And that's what it ended up being, shouting lies. Oh, yeah, I just couldn't believe it. I turned the television off, turned the TV off, went to bed, because I just knew this was not going to benefit my life in any way. I know that, I think it was, let me see if I can find. The Reverend David ended up writing me last night. He says, "Bill, I'm sitting here listening to Biden's speech, and I'm trying to figure out what country is he talking about?" Yeah, well, the moment I heard that part of the speech there, David, I just realized it's going to be another shouting, yelling, lying, piece of excrement, piece of presidential excrement speech. And that's really what it was. It's sad. No doubt the Democrats made sure that, we're going to make a big show about this. But I think there's a reason why he went on after 8:30 Pacific time last night, 11:30 East Coast, when, you know, most people were not going to see it. So there we go. And it was not all that helpful. 770-5633. We talk about some of the other headlines here locally and elsewhere in just a moment. Great story about a dog recovery. Buffy had a great story in the Rogue Valley Times. I'll share a little bit of that and a whole bunch more coming up.
This is Brent with Homan Built Deck and Fence, experts in custom deck and fence construction. As an authorized Trex Pro deck builder, we use the highest quality products for your deck, including custom handrail packages, drainage systems, and even deck lighting. As a small hometown business, we provide personalized design and creative solutions for your outdoor space. My website is homanbuilt.com, HOMANBuilt.com. Homan Built Deck and Fence. We build the best and fix the rest.
CCB 232-179.
American Rancher Garage services most vehicles and offers state-of-the-art amenities, affordable pricing, and prompt service you can trust. If you're looking for a reliable, full-service automotive repair shop that provides old-fashioned service to keep you and your busy life moving, you've found it right here, just across the street from Elmer's on Biddle. Call, stop by, or text us through our website at AmericanRancher.com. 541-499-6673. American Rancher Garage, we are united through service.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford. NoWiresNow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish.
The Rogue Gardener is sponsored by Grange Co-op. And remember, use the right tool for the job.
The Dirt Devil has a little plastic spout that folds down, and it'll go right into blossoms and get the bugs without damaging the blossoms.
I know they're not so high-powered, because every time I try to use one on my truck's upholstery, Never gets any dirt out, but I bet it would get a bug.
It gets bugs. It's a real handy tool.
Catch the Rogue Gardener live Saturdays 10 to noon, Sunday morning Encore at 9 on KMED.
Hi, I'm Cassie from Clouser Drilling, and I'm on KMED.
21 after 6. By the way, it is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. If there's something on your mind, especially earlier in the show, is a better time to check it out, okay? 770-5633 if you wanted to jump in here, all right? They're still looking for a man presumed drowned at Diamond Lake. That happened over the weekend. They were searching Saturday, Sunday, and they had an update last night that they're still continuing to search for a man who drowned at Diamond Lake. And past couple of days, 37-year-old Chamanbhai Patel of Bend, they were looking for him because Saturday, early evening there, got a report that Patel had been on a pontoon boat with friends at Diamond Lake. And he jumped into the water to swim, and shortly after he got into the water, Patel went under and never resurfaced, and they're still looking for him. So that's very sad, presumed drowned at this point. Now, there's a happy water story, and that's courtesy of Buffy Pollock in the Rogue Valley Times. And a dog was found rescued 8 days, more than a week after falling into the Rogue River. And we had this Central Point resident that she wrote about, Todd Miller. Todd Miller went out Sunday onto the Rogue River, and he was out on a section near Tuvel State Park because it was a nice day, right? Good day. And this is the quote. He said, "Me and a buddy of mine took his dog out to let him play in the river. I'd shut down my boat, and I heard something on the other side. I thought it was people walking around the park playing with a dog, and I could hear what sounded like a little yipper dog. And then I remembered, you know, there's a dog I read about that was lost, and it was a little yipper." And so Miller realized the sounds were coming from a blackberry patch and called John Geyer, one of the three jet boat captains from Rogue Jet Boat Adventures. And the dog named Brownie, it turned out, lost Pomeranian that there had been part of a week-long search. And also well-meaning community members were tromping onto private property at all hours looking for this dog. But anyway, they found the dog. They found the dog, and the dog's owner, Nicole Verdon of Redway in Humboldt County, searched for her pup, even taking to social media. But it was a nice reunion, nice reunion. Great guys. And the dog's just fine. I guess there weren't even no burrs in the fur, too. So very nice water story, you know, out of that one. Let's see. Oh, I can't say I'm surprised to read this story at all. Former GOP gubernatorial nominee Newt Bueller endorses Democrat in key Bend Senate race. Bend City Councilor Anthony Broadbent running for state Senate. This is according to the Oregonian. But here we got former Republican, I think is what we should really call him. Newt Bueller is going to back Democratic Bend City Councilor Anthony Broadbent, rather, in his attempt to flip control of a key state Senate seat. So in other words, Tim Knope, who is a bad enough Republican over in that Senate district, we have Newt Bueller that's now fighting to get a Democrat in there. Boy, I'll tell you. See, this is why, you know how we're told by so many Republicans, oh man, all that matters is that you get an R. There has to be an R next to the name, right? There has to be an R. As long as there's an R, we don't care what type of Republican it is. Just as long as they have an R next to their name. No. You realize what's going on. What's going on when Newt, bad Republican, Knope, yeah, moderate at best. Oh, the moderates are kind of like, the moderate Republicans are kind of like political bisexuals in many ways. I don't know what it is. It's just like whatever, you know, whatever team can get in on the grift, I guess that's better, right? All right, so we have that story, but I can't exactly say I'm surprised about Newt. I feel horrible that I even said back when he was running. He ended up winning. And remember, he beat Sam Carpenter. Sam Carpenter was an honest guy, an honest conservative. And Sam would have been a great, great governor. Of course, Sam was running as a, he was doing what I thought was politically unwise. Running as a MAGA, you know, we're going to make America, we're going to make Oregon great again kind of Republican, which is not going to resonate with anyone outside of the MAGA crowd, right? Doesn't mean you have to make Oregon not great again, but it wasn't really wise about that. So anyway, Newt Bueller ends up beating him out there. And of course, we're all saying, well, we got to get in line and vote for Newt Bueller. Well, now we know what Newt Bueller is all about, really. And I know the critics were saying that even at that point, but it's like it was a binary choice. It was either, you know, the Democrat really bad or the Rhino Republican. The Rhino Republican. Boy, we meant them. We meant them a lot by the dozens in the state of Oregon. That's why there needs to be vetting of it's not just an R. Are you a good R? That kind of thing. Are you actually a conservative? Because the Republican Party is not necessarily conservative in the state of Oregon. Associated Press reporting. Wildfire smoke may be worse for your brain than other air pollution. Wow. It's according to new research, linking it to an increased risk of dementia. The findings reported at the Alzheimer's Association International Conference in Philadelphia come as millions spent the weekend under air quality warnings, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, it explains a lot when you would have the Luke Rudigers of the world that would go out there and stand up in their meetings and say, I love the smell of wildfire smoke in the summer because it's the smell of the forest being restored. The smell of the forest being restored. Yes, and your brain cells being destroyed, Luke. Like so much of our forest policy. Back to national politics, Nancy Pelosi defends her decision to oust President Biden. This in the Washington Examiner. Former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi deflecting criticism from Democrats upset over her role in ending President Joe Biden's reelection bid. After meeting with hundreds of Californian delegates ahead of Biden's primetime address to his party on the first night of the DNC, Pelosi defended her actions leading up to the president's historic campaign exit. And she said, if they're upset, I'm sorry for them, but the country is very happy. Now, remember, what are we told that the Democratic Party exists for? To save democracy. And so to save democracy, you stick a shiv in the guy that actually got the votes and you hand over the nomination to someone who didn't receive one vote. That's great. Isn't that wonderful? The country is very happy. Remember, Democrats play for keeps. All they care about is power. When you hear about democracy and all the rest of it, no, it's just power. But you knew that. You knew that. I don't really need to explain that to you, I don't think. Oregon Labor Bureau, this in the Oregon Live this morning, Oregon Labor Bureau says that it will dismiss hundreds of workers' claims unless Governor Kotek gives him a $22 million budget increase. Oh, I love that. You know, next I'm going to hear, hey, you're tired of your kids being stupid, send us more money, right? I'm sure that, well, that happens all the time with the Oregon Department of Education and the Teachers Union, right? But this is true. In Oregon Live today, the Oregon Labor Bureau has asked Governor Tina Kotek and lawmakers to increase its budget by $22 million. The agency leaders say that the money would help the Labor Bureau address massive backlogs of workers' claims and civil rights complaints. That's it. In fact, they're requesting $81 million, a steep increase from the current budget for the two-year period that begins next July. In other words, they have a massive backlog. They haven't done anything about that right now. A lot of workers who had been denied pay or had their civil rights violated, but they say, oh, no, I'm sorry, we can't help you. We can't help you unless you pay us more. We're going to hold the workers who have been screwed over. We're going to hold them hostage. Gosh, you got to love politics in this state, huh? Oh, man. 770-5633. So many pebbles in the shoe. Where do we even start? I'll go to the first line this morning. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
This is Minor Dave.
I figured it was you, Dave. It felt like your ring. I didn't check the caller ID.
Well, you know when it's me.
Yeah.
It's Psychic Link. Yeah. Is that
what it is? Okay, I thought that was just me in terror. But anyway, I'm having fun with you. What's up?
My pet peeve is England saying that they would extradite anybody that commented on social media that did hate speech. So I'm worried about you, Bill, because you know you got a lot of opinions and you broadcast them.
Mm-hmm.
If I was you, I wouldn't go to England or Europe or anywhere like that.
Well, I wouldn't go to England anyway. The food's bad. Well, actually, they're improving the food because they've just imported the entire third world to England now. See, that'll get me arrested, too, I'm sure, by complaining about that, right? That kind of thing?
Right.
Yeah. If you happen to notice that the third world has taken over what used to be England for Englishmen, but that is so 1995, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, all the English people from England left a long time ago, like my ancestors on my dad's side. They left and came over, you know, like 250 years ago. So I would say that, you know, England is dead and there's no reason to go visit it.
It's funny that you bring this up because there. Let me just bring up a story. I'd say I don't have it in front of me, Dave, but I know I've got it in my notes here. Oh, here we go. A British man has been jailed for 18 months, thrown in jail for 18 months because he ended up doing a social media post, just like what you were talking about Allah. And he says, in other words, he said, like, who the blank is Allah? A 61-year-old British man asked protesters, and that comment resulted in an 18-month prison sentence. And as Martin Armstrong had shared this post the other day, you no longer need to commit a violent crime to be tried as a violent criminal in the United Kingdom. So I would dare say that, yes, the UK is dead. Is dead. Okay?
Right.
Appreciate the call there, Dave. You be well, okay? Thanks.
Bye.
770-5633 to join in. 632, we'll catch up on some news here in just a moment. And we'll also be talking about who survives disasters and why. All right? Amanda Ripley will be here at about 8. Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. A Grants Pass man is charged with intentionally derailing a freight train in the Union Pacific Rail Yard in Klamath Falls on August 12th. As a freight train was passing, Craig Sadler is accused of pulling the switch, sending four rail cars off the tracks and causing $1 million in damage. Police found Sadler less than a mile away. Businesses are lining up to kill a ballot measure that would create a massive new tax on businesses, large and small, to give all Oregonians $1,600 a year. Grocers, insurers, timber companies, and other businesses from inside and outside Oregon have dropped almost $6 million to fight ballot measure 118 that would increase prices and potentially cost jobs. Democratic Oregon Governor Tina Kotek is following in Kate Brown's footsteps. The 2024 morning consult poll of all 50 state governors places Kotek at the bottom of the poll as the least approved and least liked governor in America. I'm Bill London, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. Although his appearance was pushed out of prime time, President Biden was greeted with thunderous applause last night, the first day of the Democratic National Convention. It's been a hot time outside the convention hall. Thousands of anti-Israel protesters have been making a lot of noise, and there have been some arrests. As the Democrats meet in Chicago, the Trump campaign continues to visit battleground states this week. Today's focus for the Trump-Vance ticket is crime and safety. The former president, due to visit Michigan today, was in Pennsylvania yesterday. U.S. intel officials say it was Iran that was responsible for hacking the Trump presidential campaign. Israel's military says it has recovered the bodies of six hostages taken captive in the Hamas October 7th attack on Israel that ignited the war in Gaza. More details at srnnews.com.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
No.
Okay. Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right. Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay. No worries. No worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
On August 30th, Reagan returns to office.
We are the greatest country in the world. We have just forgotten.
You can run from a bully for so long, but after a while, you're going to have to stand up to him.
I am about to start the biggest war of this century.
You told me you wanted to make a difference in this world.
What would you have me do?
I want you to fight!
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall!
Reagan, in theaters Friday, August 30th, rated PG-13.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option? Look no further than Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. With our state-of-the-art snap-lock machines, we bring precise and efficiency right to your doorstep. No need to worry about transporting materials. We come directly to your project property. Visit StephenWestfallRoofingInc.com and discover the ease of quality of metal roofing done right. Transform your home with Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. Call today, get an estimate tomorrow. 541-941-3736.
Looking for a safe place to store your RV, trailer, or boat? Hardcastles offers a secure storage lot located conveniently on-site with a keypad entry. With spots filling up quickly, stop by today to reserve yours. While you're there, check out the fully stocked line of enclosed, dump, flatbed, and utility trailers. Hardcastles' friendly and experienced staff are always available to help you find what you need. Open weekdays 8:30 to 5, Saturdays 9 to 3. Hardcastles, where the customer is king.
You hear more and more about identity theft in the news every day. That's because so much of your personal info is out of your control, like your insurance provider that has your social security number and your favorite retailer that has your payment details. If they get breached, your information's vulnerable. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second for threats. If your identity's stolen, they'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code PLAY at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now, 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
We'll have time for more Pebble in Your Shoe calls, but if you want to squeeze one in quickly, go ahead, 770-5633. But we are going to be talking with Manna Ripley here in just a couple of minutes. But I wanted to toss out a couple of emails of the day that I ended up checking out, emails of the day. And those are sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. And it's on, not Pine Street, but you get off Pine by McDonald's and the Mazatlan Mexican restaurant, Freeman Way, I think is where that is up there. And it's right next door to the Mazatlan. And they have an in-house lab now for your crowns. So you get your crown taken care of, you get your tooth all ground up. It's no longer having to put a temporary on top of that. A lot of times they can just get the regular one taken care of. And so, that's what we have here, centralpointfamilydentistry.com. It's 6:38. Hey, I'll tell you what, I'll continue the emails. I think we do have Amanda online. Let me take a quick break. I'll be right back, and let's talk some disasters, how to survive them. That's news you can use this morning, okay?
Drake's Paint and Supply, your only locally owned paint store, is now open in South Medford. The South Medford store offers the same top quality Benjamin Moore paint and stain and all the equipment and supplies the North Medford and Grants Pass stores offer, with the legacy of service and value Drake's is known for. Drake's Paint, your local Benjamin Moore dealer, with three Rogue Valley locations to serve you in North Medford on North Pacific Highway, Grants Pass in the Parkway Village, and now in South Medford between Central and Riverside, just north of where the two combine.
Oregon Truck and Auto Authority is celebrating its 20-year anniversary as the Rogue Valley's car, truck, Jeep, and SUV accessory upfit headquarters. Specializing in spray-on bedliners, vehicle undercoating, tonneau covers, and the largest selection of fiberglass, commercial, and metal canopies in the area. Running boards, Nerf bars, bumpers, winches, and LED lighting are also on the menu, along with hitches, decked drawer systems, and bed slides too. Come see Oregon Truck and Auto Authority today and get your vehicle ready for your next adventure.
The Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:40, and proud to have Amanda Ripley on. She's a prize-winning journalist and New York Times bestselling author. And a revised and updated edition out today of The Unthinkable, Who Survives When Disaster Strikes and Why? And going on sale today. Welcome to the show, Amanda. Great to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill. Good to be here.
Yeah. Was there something that happened to you that got you into writing about the disasters and delving into the psychology of what it takes? It's not just about prepping if you have supplies or whatever it is, but you delve more into the emotions and the thinking that goes on with people who survive versus people who die. Would that be a fair assessment of what you do with this book?
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. So what is wrong with me? That is the question.
What is wrong with me? Okay.
So, I often ask myself that question. But no, I covered a lot of disasters over the years as a journalist, from 9/11 to Hurricane Katrina to the European heat wave that killed 50,000 people in Europe. And what I found is that every single survivor I interviewed had things they wish they had known. Really surprising, interesting, sometimes even hopeful things that they wanted the rest of us to know about what it felt like physically, mentally, and even socially to survive a disaster. And those things were not making it into the sort of official conversations about emergency preparedness. So that is what kind of got me going down this road of trying to understand what they call the human factor in disasters, which turns out to be almost the entire game, right? How do we react to warnings? How do we respond to fear? And how can we do better?
Something I've noticed that it seems to be a common thread is the a slowness of people to react quite often. Would that be fair, looking at some of these common things? And I guess this is just what the shock of an event sometimes is like, is this really happening? There's a lot of that that goes on, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, this was probably the most consistent pattern that I've heard. You know, in very different catastrophes, from shipwrecks to terrorism attacks to floods, people go through the same three phases, and the first one is this kind of profound period of disbelief. It is opposed to panic, which we expect. In fact, usually people take a really long time to believe that anything bad is happening. There's a strange sort of lethargy that sets in. All of us tend to procrastinate leaving, even when there's, you know, smoke filling the ceiling. And there are, like, understandable evolutionary reasons for this. But obviously, it can be really dangerous, and we can lose a lot of time in that phase. So I've found personally for it to be really helpful just to know, to expect my brain to do that, to really try to normalize what is happening and try to push through that more quickly.
Just knowing through it, yeah. We react like, I don't know if you're ever familiar with that famous meme that has the little dog drinking coffee as the room's burning down around him. And you know that, you know which one I'm talking about, right? He said, "This is fine." You know?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so.
Yeah. All is well. Yeah.
Yeah, and you have to kind of fight that tendency, but yeah, you're fighting your instincts, I suppose. Something else that struck me, there was an incident that you talked about in there, in which which a plane caught on fire on the ground after being struck by another one. I think this was in Japan, wasn't it? If you just refresh my memory on that.
Yeah.
And everybody got out of the plane with minor injuries, even though the plane was on fire and it was filling with smoke. And you would have thought that things would have been really, really just nuts in a situation like that. And the stereotype was that, well, it's Japanese and they're all into authority and this and that and the other. But you surprised me with your answer on why they got those people out of there so quickly and so efficiently. Yeah. What happened? What really happened?
It's wild. It's a great example. And it was actually just earlier this year, a Japan Airlines wide-body jet with 367 passengers was hit, as you said, by a smaller plane on the same runway. And so the two planes collide in a ball of fire, and inside the larger passenger jet, you know, the plane tilted to one side and caught fire that skidded down the runway. So, you know, to anyone watching, it looked like no one was going to survive this thing.
Yeah, no
but
way.
In fact, most planes, right, but this is one of the good, hopeful little pieces of trivia to share with your listeners, is that most plane crashes are survivable, which people don't expect, but they end up on fire on the ground, and you have to get out quickly. So this is the whole trick, right? And this is where human behavior really matters, right? So in this case, the flight attendants were well-trained, which most flight attendants are now. They were not always well-trained for human behavior in disasters. Mm-hmm. But they searched through the windows to figure out which exits were safe to use. They opened three of the four emergency exits and began ordering everyone to leave their baggage behind and calmly evacuate. So typically, we've learned that passengers will insist on grabbing their carry-on bags, right? Which is because that's what they always do. It's not because they're like evil people, right? It's because that's what we always do.
Yeah.
And so you just kind of revert to your normal routines. And that really, obviously, as you can imagine, leads to chaos and slows down the evacuation, but not this time. So one by one, the passengers left their bags behind, filed out of the exit, slid down the evacuation slides. There was no panic, no misbehavior. And 18 minutes after the collision, all passengers and crew had escaped from the burning plane, including 8 kids. There were no serious injuries. And, you know, just like you said, all the news stories called it a miracle. Many of them pointed to the Japanese traditions of respecting authority, which is it cracks me up because every time this happens, and it happens every 6 months, give or take, where there's a disaster or people behave well, and then there's some news coverage attributing it to the culture of the place. But actually, what we know is that people typically become, all over the world, quite cooperative and obedient in disasters. It's not, they don't behave the way they do normally.
Oh, really? So people go against what you would think they'd be doing. That is not necessary. But what about, I've read other stories, though, in which people are going nuts, going after their baggage and or their carry-on baggage, trying to get out of the plane. And then a lot of people end up dying, you know, because of it, because of the panic.
Right. So there's been really interesting research on panic, and it turns out there needs to be a few conditions present at once. And those conditions are not generally all present at the same time. But one of them is that people need to feel like they might be able to get out, but they probably won't, right? And they need to be able to feel like there's some unfairness and they don't trust the system. There's a bunch of things that have to be present. If you have a crew that is well-trained to give assertive guidance, right, leave your bags, get off the plane now, right, quite aggressively, people become quite obedient and cooperative. So this is, you know, it does matter. Leadership does matter. Training does matter. And it does matter that those flight attendants were well trained. But one thing we know for sure is that it wasn't just a miracle, right? And it wasn't because of culture. It was a function of preparedness and training and the kind that's designed according to how humans actually behave. It's not, you know, it's not magic. And so that's important because we all need to know this stuff so that we can take advantage of our best impulses in disasters.
Amanda Ripley, and she's updated a brand new version of The Unthinkable, Who Survives When Disasters Strike and Why. Just a quick one here before you take off, though. Do you talk about physical fitness as an aspect of preparedness in any way? I'm just kind of curious if there's ever examples of that, where if someone had just been maybe, you know, not 400 pounds, let's say, that they might have made it. Do you have any stories like that? Just curious.
Absolutely. I mean, we know from the research into the evacuation of the World Trade Center on 9/11 that fitness matters a lot. So on average, obese people obviously move more slowly, are more vulnerable to secondary injuries like heart attacks, and have a harder time physically recovering. On 9/11, people with low physical ability were three times as likely to be hurt while evacuating the towers. And here's the other thing, coming full circle, other people, their coworkers and strangers, stayed behind to help them, right? So it is because of that cooperative instinct in disasters. So, you know, it's tricky, but it's a cruel reality of physics that people living with certain disabilities or obesity move more slowly and may need more space. And again, this is why it's so important to literally get practice for dealing with evacuating your building in advance, right, and including everyone, right, in that process. So everyone knows where the stairs were. Everyone knows who's going to help whom, so that these problems don't become quite as fatal.
All right. Very good. Great job. Like I said, lots of stories in here, lots of 9/11 coverage there, too, which we didn't even have time to scratch the surface of. Maybe another time. Wonderful, Amanda. Great book, and thank you for putting this out, okay? Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Amanda Ripley, The Unthinkable, Who Survives When Disasters Strike and Why? And that is on sale right now. It's an updated version with a lot of recent disasters that are well worth understanding and trying to figure out even where your own, you know, your own thought process lies if disasters were to strike in your world.
Bicoastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is here. Visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to view the new magazine online and pick up a copy at the Jackson County Library, Eatonvale Winery, Food for Less, Royal Coffee Roasting, and Mercedes-Benz of Medford. Congratulations to all the winners representing Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. If you'd like to be a pickup location for the 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine, please email rvcontact@bicoastal.media.
Power outages are becoming more common. Patriot Electric can size you with the correct Generac generator backup system for when outages occur. Whether you need a powerful portable or a whole house system to power your house, barn, shop, and pump house, a flip of a switch will produce power when you need it the most to pump water and provide essentials like AC and refrigeration. Call Patriot Electric and get your own Generac generator, an investment you'll never regret. We are Generac sales, installation, and service professionals. Visit PatriotElectricOregon.com.
The reports keep coming about Sky Park Insurance saving listeners money. Here's Dan in Medford.
I've been hearing Bill talk about Sky Park on the radio, and now I wished I'd called Steve earlier. He cut my insurance in half on my truck and saved me $600 a year. About blew my boots off.
Sky Park Insurance is an independent insurance company that shops for the best rates among several name brand companies. Call Steve at 261-5444.
At Sky Park, we make insurance easy.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
770-5633. Some open phone time here. Could be a pebble in your shoe Tuesday if you wanted to jump in before we take off for town hall news. And then we're going to talk with Paul Princeton, whose eldest daughter, ended up being attacked by a pro-Hamas protester who was working at Shake Shack up in Portland, going after the 8-year-old girl. I just can't believe it. You know, you have this 8-year-old girl that is Dutch and Jewish by marriage and had gone to a Jewish summer camp and was wearing the Jewish summer camp T-shirt. And she's there at Shake Shack. I guess they're just going to have a hamburger or whatever the case might be. And the server asks, well, you know, what's that? What were you doing? What's that T-shirt all about? And she explained it. Well, yeah, I'm Jewish and this and that and the other. And so she starts berating the little girl. The little girl just, you know, screaming at her about her Jewish ethnicity and killers, whatever the case might be, and free Palestine and all the rest of it. And then as they're being chased out, you know, they end up leaving the mom and the granddaughter. They end up doing that. And then a couple of hoodies heard about this and tried to push him out into traffic. This is, you know, wonderful. This is the coexist city, you know, the kindness and, you know, here it is, our LGBTQ flag. You are safe here. Yeah, you're safe here. But if you're an 8-year-old Jewish girl, no, I guess not so safe, along with mom. And I was talking with Paul about this. And like I said, he'll explain more about what is going on. I was kind of wondering why there wasn't maybe a more muscular response. And I guess she probably would have done, mom would have done more if the daughter had not been there. I think if it had been just going after her. But at that point, it's just kind of like, you know, get out of it. But pretty scary stuff going on in Portland. All right. Another story that got lost in the shuffle here, because all we've been doing is hearing about, you know, the wonderfulness of the Kamala or the Kamala. Kamala or Kamala? I've heard it both ways. So it must be Kamala. We'll just go with Kamala. Julie Kelly on her Substack, Declassified, says there's another suspicious moment in the DNC pipe bomb mystery, and there's almost no coverage of this story. Remember, that's still one of the stories that has not been explained about January 6th. Still nothing about it. It's kind of like it didn't really happen. Julie Kelly writes, one reason the public should remain highly suspicious about the circumstances surrounding the so-called pipe bombs discovered on January 6th is the fact that the national media is not interested in it. So that should tell you that there's more to it than what you would think. Major news outlets, including those that have full-time January 6th beat reporters, Julie writes, have completely ignored the shocking findings recently confirmed by DHS Inspector General Joseph Kafari related to the Secret Service's role in the events of January 6th. Kafari has determined that Kamala Harris, the incoming vice president and U.S. senator at that time, now Democrat candidate for president, came within 20 feet of the alleged explosive when she inexplicably, left the Capitol at 11:22 in the morning to visit the Democratic National Committee headquarters instead of staying behind to relish her history-making moment. Now, Declassified with Julie Kelly is reporting here, she has never been asked nor been asked about her near assassination attempt. And perhaps for good reason. Declassified with Julie Kelly says that newly discovered video appears to justify the belief that the DNC, quote, pipe bomb scare was part of an inside job, perhaps orchestrated by law enforcement or others to initiate panic in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. This video, captured by a security camera outside the DNC building, shows an officer with Harris's detail exit a DC Metro Police SUV. The officer, carrying a bag of some sort, points toward and then walks in the direction of where the second pipe bomb was found just outside the building. For unknown reason, no video is available of the bench that day. So just before 1 o'clock, the man re-enters the frame, carrying the bag as he approaches the Metro Police SUV in the driveway and gets back into the passenger side. What exactly was he doing? Did he set the device? And if he was acting on the up and up, how in the world did he not see a pipe bomb sitting right there? In fact, several instances earlier in the day undermines the idea that law enforcement simply missed the pipe bomb planted underneath bushes between the two benches on the outside of the building. The movements also suggest that the device was not where the FBI claimed it had been planted the night before or wasn't there at all until several minutes before it was discovered. Nearly 2 hours before Harris came to the DNC, a bomb-sniffing dog conducted a sweep outside the building at 9:30 in the morning, right by where the explosive device was later found. Now, see, that doesn't make sense, does it? Gee, no one's telling you anything about this, right? Thank goodness for Julie doing this reporting, I guess. The bomb-sniffing dog, didn't detect the bomb. And this is a bomb that the FBI even today insists was viable and deadly, and something that Kafari noted in his investigation of the matter. Security camera footage edited to track the movement of Harris's detail, each marked with a different colored circle, captured the arrival of Harris's motorcade. As Harris's motorcade entered the garage, the footage shows a member of the detail, tracked with a yellow circle, exiting the SUV, pointing to the driveway, apparently directing the other vehicles to where to park. He then walks back to the vehicle, opens the side door, and appears to retrieve something from inside before walking away. And the MPD vehicle leaves as the man walks out of the frame where the pipe bomb would be found about 40 minutes later. So practically everything we're being told right now about the January 6th pipe bomb incident appears to be more of an example of directed history, which, of course, makes me even more suspicious as we see Kamala Harris, the same person who was supposedly threatened by the pipe bomb, but has never talked to anyone about that. Appears to be all of a sudden finding herself going from a big zero, in fact, a negative, a drag on the ticket, to now being the savior of democracy. And boy, never said a word, you know, about all this kind of stuff. And the rest of the media is not interested in reporting this either. So that's very sad, because it's kind of like everything we're doing these days right now seems to be involving directed history. Nothing that is going on around us has that feeling of being organic, just something which was, you know, natural. That makes sense. None of it makes sense. I don't know where you go on something like this, but the rest of the media is not reporting this, but Julie is. But you would think that this would be like front page news, especially during the week that Kamala is being coronated. So we have that story. That's reported on Revolver.News, by the way. You can see the, you know, that whole story. It's very interesting. Another story here. More frequent power outages to prevent wildfires, frustrating customers. I wanted to share this story with you, and this is from Douglas County, nrtoday.com. Both Douglas Electric Cooperative and Pacific Power have set their systems to enhanced safety settings during fire season, frustrating some Douglas County residents who are experiencing frequent power outages. I wanted to make sure that you know here that, you know, you're offering talent, you think you're being picked on there. No, it's not just you. Richard Wade, who's a golf course superintendent at Roseburg Country Club, said there were 8 power outages July 4th to July to August 10th, and they're creating electrical issues within the timers of the irrigation system. Surges have blown out numerous electrical components, and they're doing all this stuff. So they're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing in Douglas County as they are in Jackson and Josephine County, too. So just understand that it's not you, it's them. Mel Swerkert, a Pacific Power customer who lives across the road from the country club, said he and his wife experienced power outages 7 times, and they have damage too. Lots of people getting damage. As a matter of fact, one of our transmitter sites that I'm still repairing at this point took damage from that big power outage that happened in Gold Hill a few weeks ago. We're seeing this right now. And I'm still waiting for parts to come in. In fact, I just had some come in the mail yesterday that we're going to be using to repair some stuff. So it is a real thing. I would kind of remind you to what Randall was talking about from Advanced Air when he was on that Open for Business segment here, that if you really want to protect your system right now, given that the electrical world is trying to get you prepared to more frequent and serious outages and preparing you for more, I don't know if you want to call it surges and bad and dirty power, you know, all the rest of it, that if you're not good at installing electrical stuff yourself, for a few hundred bucks, though, you can get surge protectors installed on your HVAC systems because many of them are just, air conditioning compressors that are connected to a computer. And the computers can take a lot of damage, you know, incoming. So it's something worth talking about. And I don't know, maybe we should be getting surge protectors on practically everything we're dealing with, given that the system is involved in conditioning us to, how do I put this, get ready for third world power. Third world power, so you have to be defensive about it, I guess. It's a couple minutes after 7. We'll check Town Hall News now, take some more of your calls. Paul Princeton will also join me here in the next few minutes and talk more about that anti-Semitic attack against his granddaughter up in Portland.